Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit present among us this day. Amen. Some of you will remember Opal. I've told her story a few times, or at least the beginning and an end, as an example of how it is that we might be in conflict with one another in the church, and by staying in relationship with each other, find a new way of being. You'll remember that she came exactly 1 month into my career in ministry and stood in the office of my, or in the doorway of my office. And there, with her purse over her forearm, in her high heels at 80 or 81, she let me have it with both barrels. You see, I'd been visiting all that month, some 40 or 50 coffees and lunches and conversations, but I hadn't yet seen her. And what I didn't know is that her husband, Bill, had terminal cancer. And so she thought I needed to know that I could do better. And then at the end of her life, for about 10 months, as she lived in a memory care unit at one of the communities near us, I stopped nearly every day. I had an office dog, a good hound dog named Jack, and he went with me. And when the sun was shining and the weather was warm, we'd sit in the center courtyard on a bench. And Jack would lie across our feet, soaking up the sun on the cement. And Opal, who had once stood on her toes and her heels and let me have it, would lean her head against my shoulder and sing with me Amazing Grace and Just As I Am. And we would pray together our Lord's Prayer. And while she cradled the baby doll that she carried with her those months, she would tell me the stories of the valley in which we lived. Sure that I was her son, Randy, and I never once corrected her. But what I want to tell you tonight is a little of the journey in between. See, Opal and I helped each other. She had a baking problem, and I helped her. She taught me how to play cribbage. She was one of those people who was there every week for quilting and was active and part of my life. She was one of those several women of her age who would, after worship, take hold of my hands and in those days say, "Oh, you're so warm." And it would be not just a handshake, but a hold for a connection and a bit of warmth. And so it was that on this night in 2015, I knelt in front of about 100 people in that little country church and waited as they went by one by one. Opal came. 8 years later, she wasn't wearing high heels any longer, but stylish flats would do. She was now using the side of the pew to steady herself, but at 88, 89 years old, that can be expected. And so she came forward and sat down in the chair in front of me with a basin of warm water and began to take off her shoes, one after the other. And then she pulled her pant leg up, just to about the knee, revealing that she had a stocking that was calf high. And she, one by one, pulled those stockings off and set them neatly in her shoes. It was only then that I helped by taking the back of her heel and lifting. And her skin had done what ours does as it ages. It had gotten softer and thinner. And just as her hands were cold, so were her feet. So that as I took hold of her, even in the stockings and the shoes, they had not warmed. And I settled that heel into that basin of warm water. And suddenly there I remembered years of life with Opal. She had come to me on October 1st to tell me that Bill was dying. On Thanksgiving Day, the day after, we had come home from our family vacation, and I'd gone straight there as soon as the kids went in the door, because he was not just terminal now, but bedridden and homebound. That Christmas Eve, I baptized not one or two of their great-grandchildren, but 12 in that living room so that Bill could be there with us. And holding her ankle, washing her toes, I remembered every one of those moments from those first high heel, loud volume times to what I knew was going to come. You see, as she stood there that night, I'd had the conversations with her daughter and her son-in-law that she was failing. And they were going to have to move her out of the home in which she had moved when she was pregnant with their first, her husband, gone, serving in the war. And I don't know that I've ever loved a congregation member more. That is exactly what I imagine Jesus did with each and every one of his disciples. As he took Andrew's feet, he saw him again under the fig tree. James and John, as the water went between their toes, he saw there on the mount, mouths agape at Elijah and a Moses with him. How was this possible? As he clutched the ankle of Matthew, he wondered at this tax collector and this Roman affiliation that had become this gift of grace for so many. And as he took, after the protests, Peter's foot, I know that one of the thoughts that went through him was not once, not twice, but three times. This one will deny me. And yet it's him on whom my church will be built. And I know that in that moment, as he came to the table and reclined with them, he listened as Thaddeus and Simeon told the jokes, and he watched as the disciples loved one another, their joy at the festival season, their family and friends having come near, the excitement. And I know that in that moment, he had never loved them more. That, then, is what I believe about baptism. That in those waters, Jesus takes hold of us. And he knows what's come before, the way that we were knit together in our mother's womb, the experience of the cold air that led us to that first scream, and the detachment from our feeding source that made us seek for that first food. And then he knew that every one of us would experience joy and love, fear and doubt, failures and life. And in so doing, as he looks us in the eye, presenting us with bread and wine and saying to us, "This is my body," I have no doubt that he could not love us more. We come tonight to stand in front of the Master of the universe, the Creator of all that was and is and ever will be, the one who took hold of us in the waters of baptism, and who, knowing all that we had been through and all that we ever would face, said, "This one I love beyond measure. And then he welcomed us to the table, so that in case we forget, we might have again and again the gift of grace that we experience this night. Jesus, he gathered his disciples that last night. And he knew it. They did not. And in looking at them, he loved them. In their confusion and their uncertainty and their doubt. And on this night, our teacher looks at you, and in your uncertainty, in your doubt, he loves you. Amen.